American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii, but we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part of roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.AmericanLogHomesAndCabins.com.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of Black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for Black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM. For the week trending, Orla Ryan, news correspondent of thejournal.ie, and from our own Today FM staff, Cathal O'Sullivan from the production staff. And I'm going to start with Taylor Swift, because Taylor mania seems to have taken over the country. It's even taken over the station to an extent. But I want to take my life in my hands by asking this question, and doing so in the knowledge that there are members of my production team still desperately looking for tickets. I have a daughter imploring me to try and find her a ticket as well. Why is Taylor Swift now so popular when, in 2018, the second night, Orla in Croke Park, everyone seemed to be getting free tickets to go there and they still couldn't fill the place?
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre to think of now, because in fairness, she sold out the first night, but the second night it was a bridge too far for her. But yeah, there were competitions on radio stations saying, you and 10 of your friends can go to Taylor Swift. There were people in Drumcondra literally were like, do you want tickets? And you were like, no, leave me alone, as you just walk down the street, which was just seems mind-boggling.
I tell you what was worse in our house, a bunch of us got those free tickets as well, to the chagrin of one of my daughters who had paid for her ticket and was getting mocked by her siblings for having been the fool who paid for the ticket.
There's nothing worse, but I mean, like, fair play to her. She's come back now and they're like gold dust. There are people paying thousands for tickets.
Well, of course, if you look at it, Cathal, as well, Croke Park holds 80,000.
Yeah.
Two nights, that's 160,000 if the second night be filled out. The Aviva, 150,000, though I suspect that if there was another 2 to 3 nights added on, those would all be sold out now.
She would absolutely sell 5 nights out in the Aviva, 100%. I'm looking online already today, and the floor of the Aviva is nearly half full, and it's only, what time? 5:15. She's not on stage for another 2 hours. So, like, it's crazy the amount of fandom that has become, like, Taylor Swift over the past, like, 2 years. I think it's since she started to kind of pull her own music back, take back her masters, and create these Taylor versions album. So, like, she's re-entering people's lives, as opposed to just people listening way back when she released the albums originally.
Okay, have either of you seen her live?
No, I can't say I have.
God, I have, and I'm the old fella in the room, and I can see her live.
I'm not a Swiftie, but I'm also not one of those people who rationally hates her for some reason. They're just like, oh my God, I think, you know, fair
play. I probably wouldn't pay for a ticket.
No, if someone, back in the day, if I was offered one of the 8,000 free tickets that was floating around, I would have, but, you know, I wouldn't, I'm not a fan. I'm very kind of passive about her, so I wouldn't pay a lot of money to go see her.
Now, there's one listener says, the wife and daughter have gone to Taylor Swift, and I've just realised that chips don't take a half an hour in the air fryer, okay? But this is this girl's night out to a large degree?
Primarily, one of my friends was joking she was going to have to kind of like sort of hide her boyfriend in the crowd just to let like have him fit in a bit more and maybe put a bit of glitter or something on him. But no, in fairness, obviously she mainly appeals to women and young women,
absolutely.
I would say. But people of all ages, like RTE interviewed the other day, there was a guy who was 71-year-old. He was billed as the oldest Swiftie in Dublin. I don't know. He was saying how much he loved her, that he loved her from back for the first album, thinks she's an incredible songwriter. So it will be primarily women at it, but it's absolutely not just women.
It's got to be a mad weekend, though, Carl, isn't it, for getting things like taxis around the place, because Shania Twain is playing out in Malahide tonight. Longitude is on for the weekend as well. And you have the All-Ireland football quarterfinals over the weekend. So
it's like the amount of people descending on Dublin City this weekend, I think it's in the region of 600,000 people over the weekend. We're looking at Malahide Castle tonight, Marley Park, Pride, Dublin's 50th year. The festival is going to be across the whole city. There's a march, a parade.
There's a march on O'Connell Street tomorrow, isn't there? Like they normally have.
Closing off the whole city, that side of things as well. And like, it's just crazy the amount of people are going to be in the city.
Is there no organisation as to what actually happens on a particular... Because we do have a shortage of hotel beds, don't we?
We do, yeah. In fairness, I suppose a lot of people won't be getting hotel beds. They'll all be travelling to and from their house tomorrow. But yeah, obviously a lot of people will be coming from... Some are coming from America. There's been people flying in here.
If they were not flying
with Aer Lingus, a lot of them have arrived. But, you know, my friend was at Three Arena yesterday while people were buying merch. She said there was a lot of Americans down there. So a lot of Americans did fly in. They must have just missed the strike. So yeah, there's people from all over. So
was the Three Arena, have they given over the size of the Three Arena for selling merch?
Walked in, and I think this was clever on Taylor's part, that she has a merch stand at the Aviva today, but she also had one open yesterday, so people didn't waste their time standing queuing in the Aviva today. So there was thousands of people up there yesterday. Now, I heard great things, that it was so well done, it was so well organised. You're in and out in maybe an hour, and the t-shirts were retailing at like 45 quid or a hoodie at like 85 euro.
God, I would be interested to do a comparison as to how much the merch costs in Ireland compared to other countries, because you know the way everyone gives out about ticket prices has been more expensive in Ireland. I wonder, do they pitch the prices in Ireland thinking that the suckers are used to paying enormously odds for everything?
I think they could probably put hoodies for 500 euro and they'd be like, that's
Taylor
fair.
Fans are just like, you see them making their own
the little bracelets,
outfits and the bracelets, and they just really go all out. But like, between the All-Ireland quarterfinals, Pride and Taylor Swift, I don't think it'll see.
There'll be a lot of people walking.
A whole lot
tomorrow.
Of leg in the city this weekend. There'll be short shorts everywhere.
A listener says the hoodie's for $35.
Oh.
Okay, that's...
$35.
Oh, okay, so...
But I heard you charge in dollars, were they? Well, they must be doing a conversion in relation.
Yeah, but that's the thing, especially...
As opposed to the 85 euro in Ireland.
I think for parents, though, it is genuinely so expensive. Like, you've been lucky enough to get tickets and probably, quite possibly, pay an extortionate amount, and then you bring your kids down. They are going to want the hoodies and the hats to whatever. So like, it's huge money. People are spending hundreds. It's not. Some people are spending thousands. My friend was saying, I don't know how a woman she worked with has managed to get 10 tickets to see Taylor at various locations across Europe this summer. So she's flying out every time. She's seen her in Dublin and then she's going to multiple other cities. What? So she's spending thousands of euro. I don't understand.
See, I reckon a family could spend thousands this weekend alone. If you were coming from the west of Ireland or from the south or whatever, and if you did have to overnight in Dublin, say if you have 3 or 4 people in a family, tickets for everybody, God knows what price you paid for the tickets, under sort of dynamic pricing. Then your accommodation costs, your transport, your food and drink.
Yeah.
It's like going on a small holiday.
It is.
But you look at like even the people travelling abroad to see Taylor, like lots of people I know went to Lisbon and to the UK. But you look at the likes of Lisbon, Berlin, all these cities have adequate public transport at night. Like I've been to Berlin before twice and you get the U-Bahn at 3 a.m. in the morning, whereas people aren't going to be able to get the Dart or the Lewis at 3 a.m. when they're going home from the night out after Taylor.
Okay, listener here says, I live in Canada. We're getting loads of messages tonight from people, Canada, California, whatever, listening in. The prices at home are about the same as here. Was at a gig for a much smaller artist during the week and the t-shirt was $55 Canadian.
Okay, yeah.
Fair enough, yeah.
Similar,
so maybe we are being charged the same. Okay. You mentioned Pride, Carl. One of the more distressing stories of the week, I thought, was Wicklow Pride Committee cancelling the Teen Pride Disco after they had received threats of protest. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so it's in Newtown and Kennedy. There was a rainbow disco organised for people or children in the ages of, or teenagers, I suppose, in the ages of 13 to 16 years old in Newtown and Kennedy Community Centre. So it was scheduled for this Saturday, but organisers have taken the, I suppose, regretful decision to cancel it because of threats of protests to those on the committee. So they mentioned kind of, we had to make this tough decision just because of people's mental health and their physical health, because I suppose these people are teenagers that are attending it, but also the people on the committee are being labelled as horrible slurs as well. And it's just, I suppose, it's not great to see coming out of, I suppose, like a country like Ireland.
It's very grim. You mentioned the slurs there. Like some people, some of the members, they've had letters put in their letterbox calling them paedophiles and groomers. Like really, really horrible stuff. And like in Dublin, it's the 50th anniversary of Pride tomorrow. And we all kind of remember why Pride started. Horrible attacks and murders back in the day. And many attacks are still happening today. We've had some very recently attacks on people because of their sexuality. So we hear this a lot, that phrase, Pride is always a protest. And thankfully, Pride has become much more of a celebration in recent years. But at its core, it's still very much a protest, and it has to be because this still happens.
I thought we had moved ahead a lot in the last decade alone. I'll just give one example. When the new Minister for Finance and new Deputy Leader of Fianna Fáil, Jack Chambers, came out, there was barely a stir. Hardly anyone made any comment. Noticed it was so different from even the time when Leo Varadkar came out and it caused something of a sensation at the time. Now it's almost like, yeah, whatever. Whatever people's sexuality, that's their own private business. If they want to announce it, yeah, that's grand. Move on. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to the vast majority of people, but if you do look at a lot of the social media posts, and I know Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it is a cesspit, but a lot of the comments underneath videos or posts announcing his new role as Minister of Finance, they did have a lot of homophobic stuff under.
Really?
Yeah. That's the usual, like, Twitter trolls. 99% of people of Ireland, in Ireland, don't care. Obviously, so many people are gay.
And I bet you these are the same people who don't want hate speech legislation in because they want to be free to continue with their homophobic behaviour.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it wasn't that he was gay, it'd be something else. But there are a lot of people commenting on the fact he's gay online. That minority, but that very vocal minority of people on Twitter in particular.
Like Orla says, like, people ask every year, why do we have a march? Why do we have Pride? Why do you need a month is often what, why do you need Pride Month? As a, like an openly gay 25-year-old man in Ireland, you constantly have your guard up a little bit. Mm. Like to a certain extent, like going out this weekend in Pride, you'll still be like, okay, don't go near this, I suppose, these groups of people. Like if they're walking there, you're kind of always having that little bit of looking over your shoulder. And like it's things like Evan Summers was attacked in April 2022, the brutal murders of Michael Snee and Aidan Moffat, things like that, that for me as someone who's grown up gay is like, it's the reason we need Pride. We need to show that this is who we are and why we're, I suppose, equal as everyone else.
Okay, listener says, someone's sexual orientation doesn't matter, but leave the kids alone. If they can't consent to sex, we shouldn't be promoting it to them. Who's promoting sex teenagers by having a Pride
Nobody
event?
Brought up sex there. The texter is the only person.
The texter is the only person who's brought that up. Yeah. And, you know, it's up to parents as well. If parents want their teenage children, if they approve of them going to these discos, that's for the parents. It's not for anyone else who's not those children's parents.
These people, gay people exist, pansexual people exist. Like, it's especially for younger people, seeing all these, the recent increase again in attacks, and as you've mentioned there, the murders, those horrible murders a couple of years ago in Sligo. I'm from Sligo. That completely rocked the community. Like, it's just, I think it's so important that kids, especially younger people, they see that they are absolutely welcome and being gay is completely normal and fine, which it obviously is. But then, you know, we have these people saying, you know, organisers of a family-friendly disco are paedophiles and groomers just because they're making a safe space for young children who are gay. Like, that's just so ridiculous.
And then what about the gay pride? Limerick and Dublin Pride have asked that the Defence Forces and court services not attend as a result of the suspended sentence handed down to Cathal Crotty, who I think as yet still hasn't been ejected from the Defence Forces, has he?
Yeah, no, it's, I suppose, they've asked that the official brand capacity of the court service and the Defence Forces aren't represented in these parades, and they have said that any members of the court service and the Defence Forces are welcome to, I suppose, represent themselves in their own personal capacity, which is absolutely fair, given, I suppose, everything that's gone on. And I suppose huge solidarity with Natasha O'Brien this week and everything. And it's just, it comes back to that, I suppose, homophobic rhetoric that is, I suppose, creeping slightly back in. I know Leo Varadkar has quoted this week saying that it's coming back into Ireland. And while we have made enormous strides, it's things like this, when you see the case of Natasha O'Brien with a homophobic kind of element to it, that this is why we still need, I suppose, that pride element to our protests and stuff like that.
Yeah, just to say, for people who aren't aware of that, I think she had complained to him about the homophobic nature of comments he was making, and that's when he attacked her.
Yeah, so it was a case of, there was a two males, I believe, and Natasha O'Brien was I suppose, telling him to stop, I suppose, basically, or asking him to stop, and that's when the attack happened. But it's just, I suppose, like that, like it could happen to me. It could happen to anyone, homophobic slurs. It could happen to anyone out in the street this weekend. And that's why, I suppose, this message has been relayed from Dublin Pride and Limerick Pride to, I suppose, have people represent themselves in a personal capacity.
Okay, and a slightly related matter, because we have mentioned Jack Chambers, but this is different, and you mentioned social media and the response. But talk about Fianna Fáil's video that they went to celebrate him becoming Minister for Finance. You better explain this TikTok video that they did to me, please, Orla.
Yeah, so I'll do my best. So there is a TikTok went viral a couple of months ago now. The woman's handle was Girl on Couch, I believe. But basically, she was kind of, it was a parody of a certain type of woman who was saying that she wanted a man who worked in finance, had a trust fund, had blue eyes, and was 6'5". So people who maybe have unrealistic standards of
don't
the
we
type
all
of
want
partner.
One.
I mean, like, come some on. Of those things. But I don't know if I want a man who works in finance, but anyway. That's another story. But yeah, so basically it's been put on a lot of videos on TikTok and Instagram the last few months. So someone in Fianna Fáil's press office thought, you know what I'll do? I'll dub shots of Jack Chambers, you know, shaking hands with Michael D, shooting hoops, looking kind of like manly and like, yeah, I can handle finance. And it was just very, it's a very brief video. It's about 30 seconds long, but it was very, I just don't know how I feel about it. It was very strange. I don't know how many other ministers of finance have appeared in these kind of videos. One thing I did try and clarify is whether or not Jack Chambers is 6'5", as a good investigative journalist.
I don't think he is.
I was Googling and I couldn't find it out, so I asked her political editor, Christina Finn, and she said he's at least 6'2", and then he is very tall, but we couldn't clarify that he's quite
6'5". Give him 6'2", but not 6'5".
He's 6'2 or 6'3". He's over 6 foot, but I don't know if he's 6'5", so we're going to fact check it live on air that at the very least, he is not 6'5".
Also, can we we might have to clarify trust fund.
I don't think he is a trust fund. Maybe he does.
Okay, 0874100102 gives you the last word by text or by WhatsApp. One, Elaine says, it's an absolute disgrace that the court service members should be asked not to attend Pride. They're civil servants doing their jobs, so unjust to single them out in this way. And in fairness, they weren't the ones who made the decision that was made by the judge in relation to that case in Cahalcry. And some people bring up, and I have to also be careful for legal reasons, but some people bringing up about the Dermot Connolly, the Dublin footballer, who yesterday escaped a conviction in relation to an unprovoked assault that he pleaded guilty to for two men. He paid a financial contribution and avoided a conviction in relation to it, which is the second time that has happened to him. A decade ago, exactly the same thing. He paid €5,000 in compensation to the victim of an assault that that took place in 2012, for which he escaped the conviction in 2014. And then this week he paid €2,000 in damages to two people to escape the conviction, which means at least when it comes to making payments and compensation, it seems that inflation does not take hold. We'll be back with more in the week trending with Orla Ryan and Cathal O'Sullivan after this. We were hearing as well in the news earlier that Enoch Burke has been released from Mountjoy Prison after something like 300 days incarcerated. I wonder, Cathal O'Sullivan, will somebody get him a ticket to go and see Taylor Swift tonight?
He might be hanging outside the Aviva right now, man.
Maybe
who
that's
knows?
That's what he needs. Let off some steam. And he's like, actually, I've made a massive
briefcase
mistake.
In hand.
It's grand. I'm sorry. I just needed to chill out.
But it's a long time to have been in prison.
So over 400
he does.
Days
yeah, actually, in total, when you add the two.
When you add, yeah.
But then the key for him is going to be, does he actually return to the school at the end of August and start his picket again? Because if he does, presumably he'll be arrested and we go through all this again.
That's what Justice Mark Sansby said today. He said, look, the exams are over, obviously. Schools have let out for summer. So he said, you know, essentially, he can't really do anything now over the summer. But if he does go back, he said he'd have no hesitation in sending him back to prison, basically. So the ball's in his court. He didn't have to purge his contempt because it's summertime and he just said, right, you can go out, go home. You've obviously been in prison for a long time. But if you end up back at the school again, you will. He said he'd have no hesitation in bringing him back to jail.
It's going to be something of a dilemma for him, given how much he's invested.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind anyway that he'll turn up in September or August, even late August.
Late August, last week in August, when the secondary school is sent to go back.
To see him there. regardless.
It would be very surprising if he didn't. Like, even any time I walk by the High Court, his family members are there almost every day during the week. So they're very committed to it. They have placards outside the High Court every weekday.
Yeah, and I mean, again, there are people who are going to say, well, look, you can assault somebody and you don't go to prison or you don't get a conviction, but yeah, you're in contempt of court and you go to prison. But if you're going to have respect for the court system, if it's going to function properly, this is what presumably has to be done.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, let's move on to other things. Has anyone taken a walk along the Grand Canal recently?
I have.
And yeah, it's such a pity, these big, ugly barriers that are up there to stop tents being pitched. And like, I can understand that it wasn't healthy or hygienic or the right thing to have the tents along the canal as well. But surely there must be some other way of actually making sure that the appearance isn't ruined.
Yeah, my friend was walking there kind of late last night, not even that late, but it had started to get dark. And she was saying there was a drunk guy walking towards her and he started to shout a few things. Now, he didn't do anything, thankfully, but she said she was terrified because she was quite literally fenced in. So she said, aside from the fact that it's, you know, taking away from the natural beauty and it just looks very ugly, if you are walking along there and something happens, you have nowhere to go. And then I suppose speaking to the wider issue, I mean, it's a plaster over a wound, isn't it? Like, it's just, you can't just keep putting up fences and then the tents will just pop up somewhere else. Obviously, the government's under massive pressure to house people who are coming in. But the idea of just saying, oh, we'll just put fences up, the tents are just going to be in a park or be somewhere else. Like, I was down there on Mount Street a couple of months ago, shortly before they cleared it for the second time, the big operation when they finally then put in fences along Mount Street and Grattan Street so people wouldn't come back. But there were over 200 people there at that point and many of them just moved on to other parts of the city. Yes, some were rehoused, but people had started to come there saying, well, if we're, you know, people made the point down there saying, I've been sleeping rough on the north side, maybe for several months, but I've not been moved because I'm in, they're making the point of it's an area of lower social deprivation, there's a lot of homelessness and people on the street anyway in the north inner city. But if you come down to the south inner city, they were moved, like the camp was there for way too long. I think we can all agree to that. It was very unsafe, it was unsanitary, it was not a good place for these people to be for multiple different reasons. But, you know, there are still many, many homeless people and homeless asylum seekers all over Dublin. There are hundreds, if not more, and they're in different parts of the city.
Move them out of sight though and they might go out of mind?
Out of sight, out of mind. And like, there's still a lot of them. If you see camps or you see tents everywhere, especially on the north side, like you see them spotting up everywhere. So yeah, maybe this temporarily has stopped people putting camps along or putting tents along the canal, but it is a temporary solution and clearly it's not working.
Yeah, well, I suppose it comes back to the attacks that happened on places marked for international protection applicants, like attacks on buildings and stuff like that, and arson attacks. And it's just like, it's beggar's belief really that we don't have, I suppose, a better solution than fencing along a canal, which is used for, I suppose, public amenities, but also just people enjoy sitting and walking along our canals. Like, it's a beautiful place to walk, but also there's businesses and restaurants along that area who are, I suppose, affected really badly from this, because like, people don't want to go out that side of the city at the moment. I think La Paniche is a restaurant that is a boat on the canal, and like, they're affected hugely from this apparently. Just, I don't know, it's not...
Waterways Ireland said as well that the current fences are going to be there probably till October, so completely over the summer and beyond.
And then what happens in October, they could be there for longer.
Okay, one final one to brief you, and I'm actually going to, given my fascination with North Korea, having visited a decade ago, tell us about the waste balloon war that's between North Korea and South Korea.
So South Korea has spotted what is around 350 North Korean, presumed North Korean now, balloons.
But sure, where else would they be coming from?
Yeah.
They might be coming from Ireland. Yeah. Who knows?
Full of Taylor merch.
Yeah.
But it's no, just carrying waste. So I think it's like there was remnants of parasites in these balloons and stuff like roundworms, whipworms and larvae in the balloons being dropped. And it's also containing damaged South Korean branded clothes. So it's kind of sending a message that, whoa, we've damaged.
So what size are these balloons and how do they get all the stuff into them?
I can't even give you an example, but it's like even the size of this room and put a balloon on top of us. And like, I don't know what the point is of it, but apparently it's kind of a little bit...
High-tech warfare.
Yeah, well, it's coming back at South Korea, who are supposedly sending leaflets back over across the border.
Oh, they've been doing that for decades.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we better leave it there. Cathal O'Sullivan and Orla Ryan from thejournal.ie, thank you both very much for being with us here.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii, but we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part of roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.AmericanLogHomesAndCabins.com.